Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Please turn to Matthew 6, 9 through 13, or turn to the page 678 in the Bibles provided. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. You may be seated. The children may go to children's church.
COVID just seems to be the gift that keeps giving. I'm worried the CDC might come out with a new name and call it COVID 2029. And now we have the Omicron variant. But take heart, I've heard, now this is a joke, there's going to be an Omicron vaccination in about a month. And so the 10 people who haven't had Omicron can then get the vaccination. Because it seems like everybody's going to get this. And maybe that's a good thing. But what do you do when you're 2 years into a pandemic? Our high school and middle school aren't having school this week. And it's not even so much for the students, because for one, they get lesser cases of it, but it's even for staffing. And then we're hearing talk of inflation rampant. I've seen pictures of grocery stores without food in them, something I never thought I would see, something that brings me back memories of Russia and Eastern Europe, grocery stores without food. What are we supposed to do? I mean, I couldn't even get the Facebook to work this morning. Now, you think I would like Facebook because they let us stream. But every week they change the settings. I think someone's up there just having a ball laughing at us each week. Where did this go? Where did that go? And really, that's nothing in light of the true seriousness that we face as a nation, as a community. I mean, we live in a town with a 30% poverty rate, where the schools realize this is one of their greatest struggles. And what do we do with all this? I mean, when I'm trying to get Facebook set up, I complain and gripe. Chloe and Rusty up in the sound booth can confer that. I'm going, what is going on with this? And I'm sure all of you, like me, when you turn on the news and read the news, you get frustrated. Your blood pressure probably goes up. So what do? Well, it's obvious by the title of today's sermon in the scripture. When we are overwhelmed, because I don't know what to do about the supply chain problem. I mean, nobody's calling me to ask, thank the Lord, because I wouldn't have an answer. I don't know what to do about COVID, inflation. Well, I have some ideas on the inflation. You stop printing money. I mean, that seems rational, but rational thought seems to have gone out the window. We don't know what to do on a certain level, but we all are called to pray. And when we are frustrated with these circumstances, concerned, and we should be, we are called to be on our knees and pray. Let us bow our head. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, I lift up our nation with so many struggles before it. Our schools working through this. Our own community, Lord. Lord, our churches and our fellow pastors, let us be churches, pastors, a community of prayer. Lord, when we don't know what to do, and even when we do know what to do, Lord, that our thoughts and our actions are based on your wisdom because of our prayer and seeking you. We pray this in your holy name, Lord. Amen and amen. So today we're looking at what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer. In truth, it's technically the Lord's Prayer that he gave to the disciples. So it's the disciples' prayer. And we are all called to live as disciples of Jesus Christ. So this now becomes our prayer. And it opens up in verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. These are Jesus' words, hypocrites, people who say one thing and do another. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners. They love to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Their reward will be that others will think, ooh, they're spiritual. Ooh, they know how to pray. And it's as if God's saying, that's it, that's the reward, because I'm not listening to their prayer. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. This doesn't mean all prayers have to be done in a closet. We pray publicly. But he's talking about a specific personal, individual prayer life. We're still called to corporate prayer. Prayers in churches across our community. You see those throughout the Bible. But we are called to pray as believers to God. Not to show off, not to win awards. You know, because sometimes people say, I don't like to pray in public. I don't know what to say. I don't sound good. Because some people just are very articulate and sound good. And that's not the issue. The issue is that we heartfelt pray to our Lord, whether we sound good or not when we do it. And here it's talking specifically about our individual prayers and how to pray in private and to seek God for change and His blessing and His grace and His thanksgiving. I don't care how you do it. Some people pray with a King James prayer. They add doth, doeth, and this is to all their prayers. I can make fun of that, but you know what? I don't care as long as you're praying. Some people pray loud. Some people whisper. Some people pray in their mind. It doesn't matter how you pray. What's important is that you do pray. And whether you pray in a calm tone or whether you get a little excited, we are called to pray with, the word I'd like is an unction, a fervor, a desire to see things happen and change. And some people pray that very calmly, and some people pray it very boisterously. And it doesn't matter. What matters is that you're praying. And we're called to pray. And when you pray, Jesus is like assuming, he's not saying, if, and I hope you do. And when you pray, this is definite. This is expected. Do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they'll be heard because of their many words. Again, this isn't like an advocate for just short prayers. But what he's talking about is just mindless, numbing, babbling, repeating the same thing over and over. No thought to it. Just repetitive nonsense. Instead, our prayer should be thought out. Should be heartfelt, should be real for the needs around us. There's nothing wrong with reading prayers. I do. But I don't just read them with my mind wandering. We read them, placing them in our hearts and minds, believing that God hears them. And then we get to verse 8. Don't be like them. Don't be this way. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Now, most people don't think of this being one of the most difficult verses of the Bible, but in truth, it probably is. Because for your Father knows, God knows what you need before you ask Him. And so the logical question is, why pray? I can just get over quickly, get on with my life, get up in the morning or in the evening and say, Lord, you know everything we need today. Amen. Where's my coffee and breakfast? But obviously that's not true. So why? Well, there's different answers. Some will say, we pray because prayer changes us. And that's true. When we pray, when we submit ourselves to God, when we thank Him, when we intercede for others, not just ourselves, it changes us. And that's true. But that's not what Scripture tells us. That's not why it says to pray. Because let's face it, when we all pray to God, in a sense, we're asking an unchangeable, all-knowing God to change. I admit the paradox. If God is sovereign, and by sovereign I mean in complete control, God doesn't change his mind because he knows everything. Everything is ordained, predetermined. We read from the Old and New Testament, nothing happens without God being in control of it. Nations don't rise up and nations don't fall without God knowing it. He knows the big picture, nations, rulers, and then little people like us. It says how he knows the numbers of our hairs. He knows everything. So why pray? It's a good question. I wish I could answer it. Because in some ways I can. If God is all-knowing and unchangeable, and there's scripture that shows God's changing, but you know, everything about scripture when it comes to God, he is so big and larger than life, he's kind of put in terms that we can understand. And yet in some ways I truly believe God changes based on our prayer. Even if he knows everything, and I can't explain that paradox. Cannot explain it. Never would. Never will be able to. I think it is beyond our scope to understand that an unchangeable God would change and respond to our prayers. Because I just said a paradox. But here's what I do know. We're called to pray. Scripture tells us to pray. Scripture expects us to pray. We see the power of prayer and things happening because of prayer. And therefore we pray. Not because we understand God. Because some people will say, oh, I can't understand it. Why even pray? But it's not because we understand God or don't. It's because we're called to do it. And we know that prayer matters. We trust Scripture. Not mindlessly so. We struggle with it. We wrestle with it. Things that are difficult. Like prayer. But we follow Scripture. It is a matter of faith. Because we are called to pray. Because we believe God is in complete control and the creator of the universe listens to us. Now that's another paradox. The creator of the universe, not the president of the United States, not the governor of Kansas. Well, let's face it, if you write them a letter, you're just another letter in the mailbox. They'll never get it and read it. Now, we're a small town, so if you call the city mayor or city manager, they might respond to you. But the governor, good luck. President, good luck. UN Security Council, good luck. God, creator of all that and beyond anything in comprehension, listens to us. That's another paradox. Prayer matters whether we understand it or not. And we are called to prayer. And then he says, this is how you should pray. So he's like, I expect you to pray. I want you to pray. Do it in private. Don't babble. Have it heartfelt. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. A true reverence. And here's another paradox. It's a true reverence. The King, God, Lord Almighty. And yet it's personal. It's not some hokey, well, you know, the big eye in the sky or, you know, the big guy and I have an understanding. Let me tell you something. The big guy and I don't have an understanding. He's God and I'm not. And if we don't understand that, we got problems. But he's the creator of the universe and it's up close and personal. I like all the omnis. Omnipotent, all powerful, omnipresent, everywhere at once, omniscient, all knowing. And he listens to you and I. And if you're anything like me, sometimes you take that grossly for granted. It's a sad reflection on me. And yet I'd have to admit that's true sometimes. Because sometimes I get frustrated. And regardless of that fact, we're called to pray. And we pray like this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His kingdom, not ours. And I have to admit, sometimes when I pray, I'm really praying for Doug's little kingdom to come into this world. Lord, I'd like you to do this for my daughter, for my son, for my wife, for my job, for my church, for my community. And that's all good. But the first thing is to reverent God and say, Lord, let your will be done. Lord, show me your will. Show me what I'm to do, how I'm to pray, Lord. Let your will resonate through me that I'm about your business. Lord, I want to be in your kingdom. Let your kingdom come into my own personal life. And I'm advancing your kingdom and not my own. And that still allows for personal prayers for our own personal issues, but still to see the bigger picture and say, Lord, Creator of the universe, God Almighty, who cares about little old me, what do you want? What would you have of me today? Your will be done and not ours. And give us today our daily bread. You know, he prays all these things. He tells about all these things to pray. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. And then he talks about our needs. And it's pretty short. Give us our daily bread. It's not very extravagant. And it's about needs versus wants. And again, it's not excluding wants. You can still pray for your wants, but it shouldn't be the foundational issue of our prayer. But we should pray for the basics and for the Lord to move in us. There's nothing wrong with praying for a better house, a better car. Nothing wrong with it. But first say, Lord, meet my daily needs. Guide me to be humble in that. That's foundational. Let me reverence you. Let me be about your kingdom and not my kingdom. And then it really gets dicey. I've preached on this numerous times, and I'll preach on this till I die, and I struggle with it as much as you do. And forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Different versions. One of the biggest issues you and I probably will deal with in our life is forgiving people who have hurt us. There's much in Scripture on this. The biggest one is a parable. And it's imagine being at work. You messed up the project. It failed. Or you got caught embezzling money. Or lying or cheating. And your boss forgives you. And doesn't fire you like you deserve. Forgives you and works with you. And then you go home to your Christmas dinner, your New Year's Eve dinner, and you can't forgive your brother or sister across the table because last year they gave your other brother or sister a present and not you. Or you can't forgive mom or dad because they favored another brother or sister over you. Or you can't forgive a person at church because they sat in your seat. I don't know what. And sometimes very legitimate issues. But God says, if your boss at work forgives you out of grace when you don't deserve it. And the parable in the Bible is much more extreme. A man who owed millions. And then he goes and shakes down another friend who owes him maybe tens of dollars. We are called to forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. This is all one big thought on forgiveness. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The power of forgiveness. Think about this. It's about, Lord, teach us how to pray. It's the Lord's prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. It's our prayer. His kingdom come. Reverence for God. Our daily needs. And then wham, you better forgive. Where did that come from? That's not a prayer. It's foundational. I like many different ways to describe unforgiveness. It's a poison you drink that you wish will harm the person you can't forgive. Odds are most of the time people we struggle with and don't forgive don't even know it, and it ruins our lives and not theirs. And if you don't believe me and if you don't believe Scripture, there's always Psychology Today that talks about if you want to improve your life, live with joy, live longer, forgive. I mean, let's face it, when Psychology Today backs up the Bible, you've got a win-win strategy. The power of forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying what happened was okay. Forgiveness is not saying that you necessarily accept the person who wronged you. In fact, it might be better to stay away from them in some cases. It doesn't allow to repeat. You still protect yourself. Doesn't mean you forget. If only we could. It's understanding that God is in control. He will be the judge. And He will be the arbitrator of what needs to be done, and not us. Forgiveness is about letting go and giving it to God. It means we may have to love from a distance. Forgiveness is deciding to live in the now and the future instead of anchored by the past. But it is ultimately understanding that God is in control and He will deal with the issue that oftentimes we can't. And in the midst of this prayer, or an explanation of prayer, Jesus Christ lurches into forgiveness, so you know it's important. You know it's paramount. You wouldn't be talking about prayer and then shift to something like this if it wasn't a foundational issue in helping and or revealing the hindrance to our prayer. But then I have to say it even gets worse from the frying pan to the fire, because then we get into life in the fast lane. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. Again, he talks about when, not if. And then he talks about hypocrites again. And what he's getting at is all these people, the religious leaders, the pastors of their time, the bishops of their time, the televangelists of their time, putting on a show, looking good, but not even living the life they preach. To not be hypocrites, but to truly believe, even when we struggle in our prayers, to truly believe that God is there. And he goes to fast. Because they disfigure their faces and show others they're fasting. Talking about how hungry they are and how long they've fasted. And how weak and faint they are from their fasting. Truly I tell you again, they have received their reward in full. You looking at them, those celebrity pastors. And some celebrity pastors are honest to God, men of God, and they're just celebrities. Some are probably fake. I would hope more of them are true to God. But I do believe some are fake. And if you took away the celebrity status and the money, they'd be gone. But most aren't. And those people have received their reward on this earth. And not the true reward and blessing. When you fast, put on oil on your head and wash your face. It means look good. Dress up. Don't show the part. So that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. But only to your Father who is unseen. Again, he's unseen. And in some ways that term represents more than we just can't see him. It's like he's unfathomable. Like I said, the paradox. Pray to your Father who already knows what you need. Still pray. He's incomprehensible. Again, the creator of the universe would listen to me? He's unseen. And yet your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward me. It's like we can say, you had me at prayer. Every pastor preaches on prayer. If they don't, I'd almost dare say they're not a pastor. And the issue is never to kind of explain prayer. It's to encourage it, to get us to pray. I never met anyone who says, I finished praying this morning and I've prayed enough. I'm done praying. I get to retire from prayer. I've just prayed so much that it's done. It's over. It is never over. There is no retirement from prayer. It is ongoing. But it is the encouragement for us to continue. Because sometimes you can't see God and comprehend Him. It gets frustrating. Sometimes when our prayers aren't answered the way we want, we get discouraged. You know, sometimes you see people pray for something and it happens. And then you're praying for something for years. And you feel like you're just hitting a wall. And yet God says, pray. Not because you always get what you want. Not because you don't get what you want. But you keep praying because that is what I've called you to. And then he has to add this fasting. Fasting is doing without. Generally, it's food. And the purpose of fasting is not to look more holy, not to sound more spiritual. Fasting is, in some ways hard to explain, it's setting aside your earthly desires, setting aside your time, and committing that to prayer. When I would eat lunch, I'm going to go at lunch instead, go out to my car, go to a private room, and pray. And the time I would have for eating, I'm going to seek God. Sometimes it's fasting things. I'm going to stop watching the news and getting frustrated. And instead, when I come home from work and watch the news for an hour and get my blood pressure up, I'm going to go pray. I'm going to seek God. Not that you ignore world events. We're not called to put our head in the sand, but we're called to sometimes put the things of this world aside and seek God. It's like practicing our dependence on God. But it's about setting aside priorities and saying, I'm going to seek God. And it is difficult. Skip a meal. It's difficult. Give up a daily habit. Like if you usually like to come home and watch your favorite sitcom or news and say, I'm going to give up and pray, and say, it can be difficult. But we are called to prayer. We're called to a life of prayer. Prayer 101, the basics. Pray often. Pray throughout the day. Short prayers. Get a prayer journal for more formal prayers. Get a prayer list. Get a prayer partner. You know, as you're making New Year's resolutions, the one resolution I would never argue with is a resolution to pray. Make a plan. I mean, if you're an athlete, you don't go out and say, I'm going to start running this year and I'm going to run 10 miles tomorrow. You're not going to make it. You know, if you've been hitting the buffet and haven't run in 2 or 3 years, you're not going to run 10 miles tomorrow. Get around the block, just jogging. Same with prayer. No, I'm going to pray an hour every day. No, you're not. Let's just be realistic. You're not. If you're not used to praying, you're not going to sit down and pray for an hour. You might sit there for an hour. My guess, I'm going to be hearing snoring by the end of it. But make a plan. Okay, I'm going to start praying every morning. I'm going to get up or before I go to bed. I'm just going to sit aside for 10 minutes and pray. I like lists. I'm just that kind of an OCD person. I mean, sometimes when people at church mention that they want me to pray for something, I'll say, please email me because I don't want to forget, and I'll forget. And if I don't put it on the list, you don't exist. Well, that rhymes. I got to get it on my list. I know what I need. What do you need? You know how you work. You know what you need. Maybe you're a morning person. Maybe you're a noon person. Maybe you're a night person. But this Lord's Prayer, this disciples' prayer, our prayer for today gives us a good outline to where to start. It's only a start. It's not all-inclusive. It's foundational. I pray the Psalms sometimes. Some people like books. They get books on prayer. They read about prayer, and it encourages them to pray. When I get a book on prayer, I read the book instead of praying. It doesn't work for me. But some people, they get a book on prayer, and it just ignites something in them, and they pray more. For myself, I have a formal time of prayer. It involves coffee. What could go wrong? But also I pray throughout the day as I think about things, when I drive. I pray for our communities I drive around it, for other churches when I drive by them. It's ongoing. It's throughout the day. It's formal. It's personal. The God of this universe listens to us. Facebook doesn't. I mean, if Facebook listened to me, they wouldn't change the settings every week. I don't know what else to do for our community sometimes. What do you do when you have a community with a 30% poverty rate? What do you do when the grocery store shelves are empty in some communities? I don't have any answers for some of those things. What do you do when a loved one's hurting, sick, spiritually down? We can come alongside him, and we should, and we can always pray for them. We are called to prayer, not always claiming to understand it. It's really incomprehensible that the God of the universe would listen to us. Let us therefore respond by Christ's terms when he says, when you pray, when you fast, and partake in that holy communion with God on a daily basis. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, again, I pray for our churches in this community. I pray for our fellow believers in this community, for myself, for our church, that we would be a people of prayer. Lord, through the highs and the lows, that we had always looked to you in prayer. Father, we thank you for the things you've given us. We rejoice in your hallowed name and in your kingdom come. We're thankful for what you've done. We give thanks as we pray, and we pray that our needs be met, and we pray for your revival to come in our hearts and in our communities. And Lord, we pray for our nation, for your Holy Spirit to wash upon it. Lord, let us be a people of prayer. We pray this, Almighty God, our Father, our Creator, empowered by your Holy Spirit, in the name and character of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. As we close,